Saturday on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Look, one of the few remaining impediments of people wanting to head overseas is about to be lifted. Oh, it's on Easter Sunday, by the looks of it. Now, just read this briefly. This is the Kent Post version today, days after the Prime Minister hinted that pre-departure COVID tests for international travellers would soon be a thing of the past. The Federal Health Minister, Greg Hunt, has announced that the testing requirements for inbound and outbound overseas travel will soon be removed. Travellers previously needed to show a negative COVID test in order to board a flight to Australia and from Australia, even if they were up to date on vaccinations. However, from April 17, which happens to be Easter Sunday, I think, that rule will be scrapped. And I've got a lady on the line who knows all about these matters. Her name is Margie Osmond. She's Chief Executive Tourism Transport Forum of Australia. Margie, good morning. More reasons to celebrate.
Indeed. I mean, I think you might recall about a month ago I was saying, well, nobody's coming to Australia if we have to quarantine, or it might have been more than a month ago. Yeah. Well, similarly, the testing regime is just that extra, you know, red tape, extra expense, all sorts of things. Mm. So sending a great message to potential international visitors that if you're vaxxed, you're welcome, which is great.
It was irksome, wasn't it, the whole business? And the issue with PCRs, of course, sometimes they were delayed, and that meant all sorts of nightmares for people who were going to miss their flight and have to rebook or get their money back or whatever. It's just a nightmare before.
Absolutely right. The only thing I would say to you is that while we might be removing the provisions, it's important if you are leaving the country that you make sure that the country you're going to doesn't still require those things.
Yeah.
So it will be a case of where you're going to more than anything else. But at least it's been removed to allow you to be able to get on an aeroplane, which is terrific.
How's New Zealand going, Margie?
Well, we're expecting New Zealand to open up for us in the second half of April. Mm. Originally it was June, July, so great that it's going to be April. I think that possibly New Zealand will do better out of it than Australia in the first instance. We'll see some leisure tourists go from Australia to New Zealand and lots of visiting friends and family who spend a lot less coming to Australia. But nevertheless, they're our second biggest market, so we need it open sooner rather than later.
Now, I'm glad you're on the line because I mentioned last week, there'll be people that, because of the crisis in Europe, there'll be some people not wanting to come to Australia at the moment. So there'll be hopefully more people from the United States coming our way to fill those vacancies. Well, it says here today, because I was shouted down on that when it was, oh, no, Europe's all desperate to come here. Oh, Great Britain's coming here in millions. Well, it says here today, Queensland Tourism is aiming to make America great again as the sector looks for a new poster child in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. With continued uncertainty in Asia and Europe, North America looms as Queensland's most bankable tourism market. Airlines and airports in negotiations to connect the Sunshine State to international destinations across the Pacific. I mean, the obvious ones, obviously Los Angeles. Everyone seems to go to Los Angeles to travel further on through United States. They're also talking about Canada here too. Air Canada's committed to relaunching Brisbane flights to Vancouver, Chicago, Texas, San Francisco, and other destinations. So it's interesting, isn't it? From across the Pacific, they're starting to look our way.
Indeed. I think the other thing too, when you look at countries like Canada, it's an enormous source of backpackers into Australia too. So very important there are direct flights into Queensland. Melbourne's just announced direct Melbourne-Dallas flights, which Sydney has had for some time. Qantas has just announced a whole range of new flights into the US, many of them geared around, once again, Dallas, which is sort of like the enormous hub airport beyond Los Angeles. Mm. And probably one of the, if not the busiest airport in the United States. So I think what you're looking at now is the fact that China's not coming back for a considerable period of time, unfortunately, and it was our number one market. So obviously, smart destination agencies, which is what the Queensland Destination Agency is, are looking at other targets. And clearly that's the US. And clearly it's also India, where we're seeing a big increase in bookings from India. But being realistic, John, we are not seeing a huge number of those leisure tourism bookings until the second half of the year.
Can I just ask you about China, because it's been critically important up here, particularly end of January into February each year. Now, obviously, COVID's a major crisis for them over there again, but it's also there's this political question whether or not they're going to be discouraged by their government from coming to Australia. What are your thoughts?
Well, it is a big issue for the industry. You know, politics will always play a role. You've only got to look at what's happening with the Ukraine in terms of what it's doing generally to the travel industry. Which is not, of course, to take away from the fact that the much more important thing is that, you know, people are in terrible circumstances and losing lives, awful situation. In terms of China, yes, it is a unique set of circumstances because the government can so very easily indicate and expect public behaviour. So I think we have to keep engaged with China. We can't turn our back on them. We've got to continue the conversation. And from a travel perspective, you know, maybe we're the bridge in that people-to-people mechanism. Mm. So tourism could play quite an important role.
Mm. I've got to take you back to something you said about the Canadians coming out here in big numbers to, well, fundamentally as backpackers, so they fill those critically important roles in restaurants and in tourism activities, etc. And my God, we miss them. I talk to people, particularly in restaurants and bars and things like that, and the ones that are here, the staff that are available, are absolutely exhausted, Margie, because they're all doing 7 days a week now and whatever, longer hours, and they're saying, for God's sake, if only we could get staff and we could get some sleep.
Well, yes, there is that. I would say to you, though, that there are, you know, lots of parts of the hospitality industries that are responding to this in a slightly different way, and admittedly, not so much the smaller businesses, the larger ones, are now bringing staff in from Pacific Islands and from Asia. So there is some of that starting to happen now in terms of people being issued visas to come here and work in the hospitality sector. Mm. So we're going to see more of that. But, gosh, we do need those backpackers back because not only do they fill the jobs in a lot of those smaller businesses, they spend just about every cent they make while they're here, they spend it in Australia. Mm. So that's, you know, the big positive.
And you also mentioned the impact on international travel that this nightmare in Ukraine is having. Can you expand on that?
Well, what it's doing is impacting on the confidence issues beyond what flights, et cetera, may be affected and those, because both Russia and the Ukraine and that area have become very big tourist destinations, particularly at the high yield, the, you know, higher spend part of the market. But you know, I think the bigger issue is the impact that it has on confidence, which has been pretty knocked around by COVID and the issues around it, and the fact that people are worried about all the red tape and all the other things they have to do when they travel. This is now just an extra factor. So it's going to mean that international confidence, global confidence to travel is going to take a bit longer to come back.
Just one final point too. Just last week, the Prime Minister on this program, when I said to him, oh, all the smarties are saying at least 3 years till we get back to anything like what we had before in numbers coming here, he said, he's more optimistic, he's more upbeat than that. What are your thoughts on a schedule for recovery?
Well, I'd love to be optimistic and upbeat, and more power to the Prime Minister's arm if he thinks it's going to be done quicker than that. Maybe that means there's some wonderful things in the budget that are going to help. But essentially, and not that I'm ungrateful for the $15 million that's coming to far north Queensland from a marketing point of view, but look, being realistic, this is not just about getting travellers back. It's about regrowing the industry. It's about getting staff back. It's about recreating the holes in the industry that have been left by businesses that have failed. So, you know, this is a pretty, you know, big structural rebuild. And, you know, I wish I could say it was going to take less, but I genuinely do think it will take at least 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Always good to talk to you, Margie. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John. Take care.
Her name is Margie Osmond. She is the Chief Executive of the Tourism and Transport Forum of Australia.